Anya and Frank were taken back to the cavern where they'd first woken up. Once there, the thug who led them down to see Dunraj left them alone. On the floor of the cavern were small bowls of water. With their hands tied behind their backs, they had no choice but to work out a way to drink the water. First, Anya squatted and used her fingers to grab one of the bowls, which she had to hold at the small of her back. Frank had to stoop forward and drink out of that. Then they repeated the process so Anya could get a drink as well. By the time they were finished, both of them were worn out from all the maneuvering and sat on the floor.
We can't stay here. I don't relish the idea of waiting for an axe to drop on my head.
Might be lucky if it was an axe. Dunraj seems intent on carving us up bit by bit. That doesn't sound like a very fun way to go.
You should have stayed quiet. I might have gotten him to let you go.
I doubt that. And no offense or anything, but your plan to negotiate my release kinda sucked.
Yeah, well, I don't hear any great plans coming out of your mouth.
Well, that's because you never asked me.
Well, I'm asking now.
Oh, hell, I have no clue what to do. I've never been kidnapped before, and I've certainly never been considered a decent sacrifice for anything, much less a goddess like the one they worship here.
Kali.
Right, yeah, Kali. Great. So what's up this chick's butt that she has to be appeased with sacrifice?
Kali was the consort of Shiva, the god of destruction. There was a terrible battle, one of several Kali was involved in, and the killing grew so intense that she went into something of a berserk rage, slashing her way through thousands of demons and enemies on the battlefield, bloodlust. Eventually, she was calmed down by Shiva, but not before she engaged in an awful lot of killing.
And ever since, her worshippers have sacrificed people to her?
Most followers of Kali are not Thuggee, but from what I know about Thuggee, almost all of them worship Kali. It's the blood and murder thing. Thuggee use Kali as a way of justifying their acts and crimes.
Yeah, but Dunraj seems to be actively looking to kill, just to show his reverence for her.
I know, and that's the problem.
The way I see it, us dying is a big problem.
We're not dead yet.
Yeah, but our hands are tied, and we're in some extensive network of caves. I mean, even if we just walked out of here, would you have any idea where to go?
Not really.
So, what now?
We're in a cage with no bars, which is good. But we gotta get our hands untied as soon as possible. I don't want to stay here any longer than absolutely necessary.
Well, you won't get any complaints from me. It amazes me how well I'm able to see now, even though we're in the dark.
There's ambient light coming from somewhere.
Okay, so how do we get these bindings off? I'm not even sure I can feel my hands anymore. If I don't get free soon, I'm gonna develop gangrene.
Anya stood and backed into the nearest wall. The rock was exceedingly smooth, as if it had been worn down by water over hundreds of years. That wouldn't help them. Anya glanced at Frank.
Stand up and try running your hands over parts of the walls. If we can find an outcropping of sharp rock, we might be able to get these bindings off.
That's your plan?
Like I said earlier, if you've got a better idea, then feel free to share. If you know of a way to build a teleportation machine that can just zap us out of here, I'm all ears.
You don't have to be sarcastic.
No, but I do need to get through that thick head of yours that we need to get going on our escape. I don't want tomorrow morning to see us still sitting here like sheep before the slaughter.
All right.
Frank scrambled to his feet and started moving around the cavern. Anya did the same, running the tips of her fingers over the rocks. But everything felt smooth to the touch, and finding something that could cut seemed almost impossible.
Ouch!
What?
I just cut my finger.
On what?
This rock.
Which one?
Turn around and run your hand over this part. Right here.
Anya felt a surge of joy as pain lanced through her hand.
Yes, I think that'll work just fine.
All right, move over and let me in there and get these things off my hands. I think I'm in really bad shape.
If your hands were that bad, then you wouldn't have felt pain when you brushed against the rocks.
Says you.
Frank started sawing his wrists against the rock.
I can tell you, this is worse than any pins and needles thing I've ever felt. I don't think I'll ever be able to hold anything again.
Drama queen.
Now, once I get free, I'll help you.
How are you gonna help me untie knots when your hands are about to fall off?
Now, you know what I mean.
Just get it done. We don't know how much time we have left. One of those guys could come back at any time and find out what you're doing.
So keep watch at the opening there and warn me if anyone's coming.
Anya nodded and squatted near the entrance of their makeshift cell. In the darkness, she couldn't see farther than about 8 feet. But now and then, the air currents would change, and she would imagine it was caused by someone moving in the maze of caves and caverns.
Damn it!
What's the problem, Frank?
The rock just broke off.
What?
I was sawing too hard, I think. The damn thing came loose and just fell away. I got some of it cut, but I don't think it's enough to break through the ropes.
Sit here and let me know if anyone's coming. I'll try to find another rock we can use.
Okay.
Anya backed against the walls. She moved all over the cave and was about to give up when she felt something sharp at her wrist.
Yes.
But again, the sharp piece of rock was small and fragile. The trick would be knowing how much pressure to exert without breaking the rock off. Anya started sawing the ropes. At first, the rock seemed to be too dull, but then Anya felt something start to happen. She resisted the urge to push harder. As it was, the edge was barely half an inch long. This was going to take a while.
Did you find something?
Yeah, but it's really small. You're going to be on guard duty for a while, pal.
Just so long as you get free.
Anya pushed a little harder on the rock, trying to keep the sawing action constant and the friction as intense as possible. But moving her hands when they were tied behind her back was awkward and tiring.
A little bit more, just keep going.
How you doing?
Frank, do me a favor.
Yeah?
Stop asking me that.
All right, sorry.
Oh.
Anya felt something give. One of the ropes was cut through. Her pulse quickened. She was one step closer to being free. She leaned in on the rock to position the next rope. And then the rock broke. Anya slid down the cave wall and sat on her butt. The rock had cut through one of the bindings. Would she be able to break the other? Anya got onto her haunches and flexed her wrists. The bindings were tight, that was certain, and they'd somehow been tied in such a way that the rope snaked through itself several times over. Anya concentrated on the sword in her mind, tried to visualize it flooding her body with strength. But each time she tried, the image wavered. Anya sank back down, exhausted.
It's no use. The ropes are too tight.
You thought you were going to be able to break out of those things?
Worth a shot.
No offense, Anya, but you're not exactly the type who can rip telephone books in half.
You'd be surprised at what I can do, Frank.
Well, I'm smart enough to know that brute strength isn't going to win us the day here. What we need is something a little more subtle.
What we need is help from someone who can get these damned ropes off us.
That would be another choice. Of course, the odds of that happening in here are slim.
Yeah.
I don't suppose you have your cell phone still.
I've got nothing. They took it all when we were kidnapped. No way they'd leave us something like that.
Yeah, just thought I'd ask.
Anya was tired and hungry. That was why her strength was so shot. Any other time, and she felt sure she'd be able to snap those restraints and be on her way to Dunraj. But now, she wanted to sleep. Her eyelids felt heavy, and her muscles seemed lethargic.
Frank?
Yeah?
You sleepy?
Very. I was just trying to get some shut-eye when you woke me up.
Why are we so tired all of a sudden?
I don't... Oh, the water we drank... What do you want to bet they drugged it somehow?
Anya remembered the taste, but it had only registered as slightly earthy, no doubt from the bowl they'd drunk out of. And that was it. They'd been so focused on getting any water into them at all, what with having to work so hard, they'd paid no attention to the actual taste or consistency of the water.
Anya, I'm passing out here.
Frank, stay with me.
But even as she said it, Anya felt herself slipping into unconsciousness.
I've got one chance to stay reasonably conscious.
In her mind's eye, Anya saw the sword hanging there with its grayish glow illuminating everything around her. Except now, black edged the gray light. Anya drew herself closer to the sword. As long as she felt herself surrounded by the gray light, she thought she'd be safe from the effects of the drugs. But it was difficult to maintain that discipline. The blackness drew her to its warmth, to the idea of closing her eyes and forgetting the pain in her hands, the stiffness in her back, and where she was. Anya flexed her wrists and instantly felt the pain return. It seemed to pierce the blackness, making it retreat in her mind's eye. Anya kept flexing even as she started sweating uncontrollably.
Keep going. Keep embracing that pain.
She bent her elbows up and down, forcing herself to focus on the agony of the movement. The pain raced up and down her arms. She twisted, getting her hands underneath her buttocks so she was almost sitting on her wrists. An explosion of fire rocketed through her body. The sweat now soaked through her shirt and pants. It felt as if she'd somehow managed to open up a floodgate. She kept twisting on the floor of the cave, and more pain shot through her limbs. Anya knew her cries would fall on deaf ears. Frank was already unconscious, and he wouldn't be back until the poison worked its way through his system, if it did.
Is this how they initiate each sacrifice? Take their prisoners here and drug them to make them compliant and unable to mount a defense when the time comes to be murdered? How many others have they killed before the development murders made the news?
Anya bit her tongue, tasted blood, her wrists throbbed. Anya was soaked in sweat. She was on the verge of hyperventilating. If she wasn't careful, she'd pass out. But Anya kept going. She kept racing toward that one powerful thought. Pain would flush the poison. She rolled along the ground, bumping into the cave walls and into Frank's inert body. She felt her wrists bend and pop and spasm and scream as she defied the very limits of what she thought was her breaking point. Anya went through it and kept going. Anya was losing the battle to break the hold of the drug coursing through her veins. Even the pain was lessening now. Dying. When Anya's eyelids fluttered a few moments later, it took her a long moment to figure out where she was, and then it came back to her. The cave. She rolled over and looked at Frank. His breathing seemed regular, but he hadn't been able to fight off the drug, and it had him firmly in its grasp. Anya sat up, aware that her clothes were fairly soaked in sweat. The pain in her body was far less now, but still present.
Did I break my wrists?
Her senses seemed fine and not dulled at all.
That was impressive.
Anya looked up. Dunraj stood there before her.
What do you want?
I underestimated your abilities. That poison we use is a very old and very effective recipe. I've never seen anyone withstand its effect the way you just did.
I don't like drugs.
That was fairly obvious. But I must admit I'm at a loss as to how you were able to flush your system the way you did. Do you have some sort of experience with narcotics?
You're not the first person who has tried to drug me, Dunraj.
Is that so? Fascinating. You are truly something to marvel at on your creed. I almost hate to kill you.
So don't.
And what would you have me do instead? Kill your comrade here? Would you barter his life for yours?
You know better than to ask me that question.
Do I? It might amaze you to know that most people I've had here would sell their most treasured love to me if it meant an escape for them. The tragedy of the human race, I suppose. We can never really trust the love of others. Betrayal is so commonplace these days.
Something you'd know a lot about, I suppose.
Naturally.
You really think your goddess wants blood sacrifice?
Of course she does. And I'll prove it to you.
How so?
By showing you firsthand what Kali wants.
Dunraj led Anya out of the cavern, leaving Frank behind. Dunraj dragged Anya back down the network of caves. She stumbled along, doing her best to keep pace, but Dunraj knew where he was going, and Anya did not. Especially since it appeared they were heading to a different section of the fortress than they'd been in before with the statue of Kali. Besides, she'd just put her body through unbearable pain. It would take her at least a few minutes to find any strength.
Have you learned your way around yet?
It's a maze and it's dark. I have no idea where I am.
And that's exactly the way it should be.
Dunraj pulled her into another corridor, one that twisted and bent into an odd shape that finally opened into another room. Five of Dunraj's men were circled around a giant stone altar in the middle of the room. On all of the walls, images of Kali adorned the rock, emblazoned in bright colors that flickered as the torchlight from several wall sconces fell across it.
Quiet him, please.
One of Dunraj's men stuffed a gag in the man's mouth.
Is this absolutely necessary?
I don't think you're taking us as seriously as you need to. Do you understand what is coming for you tomorrow? That you will be taken for Kali as well?
Yes, you mentioned that before.
And yet you are remarkably well composed. Certainly not the actions of someone who is afraid.
I don't let fear paralyze me into inaction. What good would that do? I've never in my life sat back and simply let things happen. I don't intend to start now.
You mean to escape, then?
I just finished telling you I have no idea where I am in this godforsaken place. How could I possibly be contemplating escape?
If you're not thinking about escape, then how else will you save your life and the life of your cameraman?
Why would I tell you what my plans are? You'd just go ahead and spoil them, and then we'd have no fun whatsoever.
Fun? You think this is fun? This is a solemn occasion to mark our devotion to our goddess Kali. This isn't some summer holiday, Anya.
I find it difficult to imagine that any deity would demand their followers spill blood in their name. More likely, this is just a bastardized attempt to justify murder for your financial gain, to get rid of competitive developments. Murder is something I don't condone or accept.
You've killed before, haven't you?
What does that have to do with anything?
It has a great deal to do with it, actually. And it explains the lack of fear in your eyes when you look at me. You don't see me as the one to be afraid of so much as the one who currently has the power in this relationship. That's it, isn't it? You're not afraid because you think there's going to be an opportunity for you to change the balance of power. You're biding your time until then.
I won't incriminate myself in anything. If you think you've got a theory, then I guess we'll just have to wait until it happens for it to either be proven or refuted, huh?
Of course, I find myself wondering how you intend to mount this power shift when your hands are conveniently tied behind your back. You certainly present no threat to anyone now.
Well, one never knows, do one?
You do so impress me with your spirit. It's a terrible shame you must be sacrificed to Kali, although I am certain she will enjoy your soul.
Dunraj came closer and drew his hand over Anya's breast.
I admit I find myself wondering if perhaps there isn't a little time before I send you to the other world to serve Kali for eternity.
Anya looked down at Dunraj's hand and then back into his eyes.
Well, why don't we find out?
You'd like that, wouldn't you? At least then your miserable life would be spared. At least until you bored me.
Anya leaned closer to Dunraj's ear.
I could make your wildest dreams come true.
I believe you could.
But you'd have to untie me. Otherwise, I'd just be lying there and we wouldn't have any fun at all.
Dunraj leaned back away from her.
It's a shame we do not have more time together. I genuinely believe we could be good for each other. I'm not the monster you think I am.
Another despot heard from.
Dunraj drew a wicked-looking knife out of his belt.
We've conversed enough, I think.
And what are you planning to do with that? Kill me now?
Good heavens, no. You are scheduled for tomorrow for a reason. Tomorrow is one of the most important dates in our calendar. This is for the man behind me. In a moment, I will cut his heart out.
Lovely. Why don't you just kill him and be done with it? There's no need to prolong his suffering.
Oh, but his suffering is what gives us power. I wouldn't expect you to understand this process. But tomorrow, when you die, you will.
Dunraj turned back to the man. Anya tried to kick him, but she was held back by two more men who had come up unseen behind her. They kept her pinned in place.
If only I could get my sword, I could make mincemeat of these assholes.
Dunraj approached the young man on the slab of rock and held the blade in front of his eyes. The victim started convulsing, desperate to escape what was coming.
Don't do this, Dunraj.
It's too late for him now. He will be dead very soon.
Carry my Akali.
Dunraj plunged the knife into the man's chest. Anya saw the man's face explode in pain and then go slack. Dunraj's back mercifully blocked the view of the man's chest, but Anya could tell by the way Dunraj bent and moved his arms that he was cutting into the chest cavity. She fought back a rush of bile. Dunraj worked meticulously, and after several moments, he held the heart aloft as blood flowed down his arms. Then he turned to Anya.
You see the power this organ holds. It pulses with life, with energy. And we partake of that energy to continue our service to great Goddess Kali.
Then he plunged his teeth directly into the heart, chewing and swallowing as the bloody mess covered his face. He held the heart out to his followers. One by one, his men took a bite from the raw heart muscle, chewing and swallowing a piece of what had once been a part of a living human. He held the last of it out to Anya.
He's a monster.
Anya once again sat in the cell. Frank was still unresponsive to her attempts to rouse him from the narcotic-induced slumber. Her hands still ached. The pain had returned after she managed to fight off the effects of the thuggee drug. Something about the tying method of the thuggee made this more of a challenge than the folded steel cuffs she'd gotten out of before. Anya ducked her head out of the cavern. As far as she could tell, there was no one around. Time to see if there was a sharp piece of rock out here she could use to saw her way through the bindings. Anya worked her way down the corridor about 10 feet. It was as smooth as the walls in the cave. She switched sides and used her back to feel this wall. Nothing. Anya checked back in on Frank. She was going to have to make a tough decision. She needed to get these bindings off and be able to get her sword out. But there was nothing to use around here. She had to find a way to get through them. And that would mean leaving Frank behind while she went to search. She edged farther down the corridor, feeling her way through the maze. She reached the fork in the tunnel and tried to remember which way Dunraj had dragged her. The left seemed correct, but abruptly she decided to go to the right instead. A good thing she did. Moments after she ducked into a recessed part of the wall, Anya felt the air shift and then saw movement heading in her direction. She pulled her head in and stilled her breathing. Two of Dunraj's men went past her. Anya waited 30 seconds and then moved again. If she'd taken the left branch of the tunnel, she would have walked right into them. She followed behind them, still marveling at how easily they moved through these unlit tunnels. Anya was adapting to the lack of light, but she still had to rely on her peripheral vision to see where she was going. She finally came to a point where she felt rock bite into her skin. Anya started rubbing her bindings against the sharp outcropping. This piece was much larger than what she and Frank had found back in their cell. And so Anya put her all into cutting through the bindings. Back and forth she sawed, until once again her shirt was soaked from the exertion.
I need to keep going. This is the only chance I have of getting us out of here.
She felt one of the bindings give way, and it fell to the ground. Alerted, she shrank back down into the recessed portion of the tunnel. The same two men who had gone past her before came walking back through. Anya held her breath and waited. Once they'd gone, she returned to her original position. She renewed her attempts to saw through.
I need to get this done now. I can't risk staying here much longer or coming back later.
Anya kept sawing. She felt another binding go slack, and she had more flexion in her wrists now.
Keep going, Anya.
The rock was doing its job well, and she sawed furiously now. Anya threw her entire body weight against the rock, willing the last remaining strands to split apart. And then she was free. But there was little time to enjoy her freedom, because as soon as she brought her hands around to the front of her body, an avalanche of pain came shattering down on her. Her shoulders throbbed from being in that position for so long. Her wrists felt as if they were swelling up to 3 times their size as blood poured down into her hands and fingers. Anya had to get back to the cavern where Frank was. She ran as swiftly as she dared without making herself heard. She came back into the cave, and there was Frank, still sleeping soundly on the cavern floor.
Thank God.
Anya sat down with her back against the wall and massaged her hands. The pain was still intense.
At least the toughest part is done. Now all I need is to get my hands back into working condition so I can use the sword.
Anya could feel the blood pulsing into her tendons now. She had some feeling back in her left hand. Her right hand still ached uncontrollably. But Anya tried anyway. She started deep breathing exercises designed to calm her down and let her body take care of what it needed to. She stayed upright, massaging her limbs, until at last she started to feel healthy again. She was back.
You are quite a woman, aren't you?
Anya tried to bring her hands together to summon the sword, but she was still too weak to grasp the hilt and wield the weapon. The man who had spoken held his hands up to indicate he wasn't a threat.
Oh, please do not do anything rash, Anya. If I meant you any harm, I would certainly not be sitting here relaxed, given that you have managed to free yourself.
Who are you?
I am called Cormy.
In the darkness, it was difficult to get any real read on his features. He was swathed in the same material as the other Thuggee members, and he was most assuredly one of Dunraj's men. Although Anya hadn't seen him at the Heart Feast earlier, that didn't mean he wasn't a threat. Cormy pointed at Anya's hands.
It takes a long time to recover after you've been tied up for so long.
Yeah, well, I'd like it to be sooner than later.
I do not doubt that. Considering what you have seen, I do not blame you one bit.
So why are you here, then? Did you swing by to torment me about my upcoming date with Dunraj's dagger?
I came to help you.
Forgive me for seeming suspicious of such a gesture. I haven't had a very good experience with others of your kind.
I know. I was the one who carried you back from where you fell down the embankment.
You were?
Well, you would probably have died had I not administered the aid I did when we got back. I take it your head is no longer hurting?
Actually, my head feels pretty good. Thank you.
It was seen as a foolish gesture on my part. But not all of us agree with what Dunraj is doing here. We don't want to be a part of the killing. We are here to worship Kali only. But he has somehow twisted a fervent inner cadre and bent them to his will. They are the ones who wish to continue this bloodshed agenda Dunraj has embarked on.
I think I saw an example of those guys earlier. They ate a heart.
Dunraj calls that a way for growing closer to our goddess. But to me, he is perverting the very nature of our worship. I have not yet been able to figure out why he is doing this. To what end does he wish to manipulate this group?
I was hoping you were going to tell me that you're an undercover cop or something, and that the cavalry was on its way.
Unfortunately, that is not the case. But we are not completely alone here. I have two friends who may help us if they feel they can succeed in overthrowing Dunraj.
How did you guys get involved with this in the first place?
You do not have time to understand the whole story of the Thuggee. What Dunraj told you is true. This region was known for its Thuggee activity, and this is sacred land. But as to why things begin, who can say? As modern-day adherents of Thuggee, we are not really interested in killing at all, but in protecting what is ours, including this land. But there are people only too willing to desecrate the land, even after we explain its historic and spiritual significance.
But the murder of the residents at a nearby development, you can't expect to walk away from such things.
Those killings were not committed by either myself or the men I know and trust here. That was done by Dunraj's inner core.
You were out, though, when you took Frank and me.
We were getting supplies back into the mountain when we came upon you. We were as surprised as you were, but we know the land well and were better able to adjust accordingly.
You could have left us there.
And we would have, but for the injury you sustained. We were concerned also that Westerners were now investigating. Bringing you back was a way to try to convince Dunraj to stop the killings.
That didn't work out too well.
No. Bloodlust now flows in his veins. He is convinced that by killing, he is able to draw us all closer to the goddess.
How come you guys don't simply turn him into the police?
He is protected by his inner cadre. Plus, we believe that Dunraj knows of another network of caves and tunnels within this mountain that most of us do not. He is able to be anywhere he wants to be within moments.
But he can't be here all the time.
Hyderabad does call him away from time to time, but he's never gone for long.
Look, we've got to get out of this place. Frank and I are scheduled to be served up for Kali's breakfast tomorrow. Can you help us escape?
What good will that do? You would never find your way back, and Dunraj would still be at large.
So what are you suggesting?
You want these killings to stop, don't you?
Of course. They absolutely have to stop.
Then there is only one alternative. We must kill Dunraj to stop the violence. So, he was right about you.
What did he say?
He warned us when we brought you here that there was much more to you than we would be able to see. He felt certain that you had a lot of violence in your past.
I do.
And I see that the prospect of killing a man does not affect you as it would someone who has never been forced to take a life.
I have been forced to go to extremes to save myself on a number of occasions. But I don't relish the idea of killing. If there's an alternative, I'll find it.
Dunraj will prove to be a formidable enemy. I have seen him in action a number of times. When we first discussed the notion of driving the residents away, one of us stood up to him. They engaged in single combat, and Dunraj played with the man as if he were a cat batting around a mouse.
I've fought a number of people who were excellent fighters, and I was the one who went home.
Oh, do not think you are invulnerable.
I try to protect good people and ancient relics. That runs me afoul of some who would profit from their desecration and destruction.
You sound as though you have great reverence for the past.
I do.
In another time and place, you might have been welcomed into our ranks.
Perhaps. But trust me, I'm better on my own.
Cormy smiled as he bent to cut Frank's bonds.
Your cameraman means well, but he is woefully unprepared for the prospect of fighting.
That's what I'm worried about, too. How long will that drug keep him unconscious?
Until tomorrow morning. It was designed to reduce the ability of captives to mount any type of defense.
That's going to make moving him around a real chore. Is there any way we can safely stow him someplace else in this network of caves?
Someplace where he won't be found?
Once we deal with Dunraj, then we can come back for him.
Unless he wakes up early and starts making noise, that would draw our enemies to him.
Do we have an alternative?
None that I see.
How long will it take to hide him?
Cormy, a big man, hefted Frank onto his shoulders. He seemed very much at ease carrying Frank's weight.
I will return as soon as I am able.
Anya watched him duck out of the cavern and then disappear into the darkness. She couldn't hear any footfalls and marveled at how silent he was, even while holding 200 pounds worth of Frank. Anya sat and worked on her hands again. The pain was less now that she hadn't been thinking about it, but it was difficult to form a fist.
I need to bring my sword out. I need to know I can get it out if I have to.
She visualized the sword hanging in the other world. Its glow wrapped around her now as she reached for it. Power flowed from the blade down into the hilt, and then into Anya's hands and up her arms. Instantly, the aches vanished, and Anya closed her hands about it, gripping the sword tightly, ready. The sword gleamed in front of her face and lit up the cavern. Anya swung it experimentally a few times, testing the weight on her muscles. Her body responded with a renewed vigor. It occurred to Anya that she was incredibly hungry. She should have asked Cormy for some sort of ration to see her through. Undoubtedly, there was going to be a lot of fighting. And if Anya didn't have some sort of sustenance, she'd get tired. She put the sword away again. The exhaustion of her ordeal came thundering back down on her. She curled up near a corner of the cavern and rested her head against the wall. It wasn't comfortable by any means, but she felt better knowing that she had the sword again. She closed her eyes, waited, and fell asleep. How long she slept, Anya didn't know, but she suspected that it was at least an hour before she felt the rough hands of Cormy shaking her awake. Anya rose groggily. Her need for food was almost overpowering. Fortunately, Cormy was pushing some bread into her hands.
Take it. It's not much, but it should give you strength. There's water as well, but this hasn't been drugged.
Anya gulped down the bread, working off the rustiness of jaws that hadn't been used in some time. It was a coarse, chewy bread, and Anya relished each bite of it.
Thank you.
She washed it down with gulps of water and felt much better.
I know you have been famished. Dunraj likes his sacrifices to be starving when they die. He feels it will make them more compliant when they reach the afterlife and enter the service of Kali.
He really believes that?
Yes.
Do you?
Once I did, but my reasoning has finally caught up with me, and I know that Dunraj has been blinded by his quest for power. I don't say this to excuse my past actions. some of which have been less than honorable, but rather to explain my own evolution.
Anya stood. The nourishment caused her stomach to cramp appreciatively, but the energy she gained from the food was so worth it.
That bread helped a lot.
It's an old recipe. There are many nutrients in it that will keep you ready should the need to fight arise.
As it most definitely will.
Undoubtedly.
Cormie led her out of the cavern. Once again, they were headed down the tunnel away from her cell. The tunnel seemed less dark now, but Anya knew that danger could be lurking anywhere. Cormie seemed undisturbed by that prospect. As they traveled, Anya noticed that he had his Rumal out and ready. But the tunnel system seemed almost deserted. Cormie paused and knelt near an intersection, putting a finger to his lips. A man passed inches from their faces and then proceeded on his way. It appeared that Cormie wisely chose not to engage anyone unless they left him absolutely no alternative. Anya kept her hands together in front of her as if she were already holding her sword. The ground sloped upward, and Anya knew they were ascending into a part of the mountain unfamiliar to her. More ambient light and cooler breezes found their way into the tunnel system. Cormie pointed out a few key landmarks in case they got separated, but Anya was determined not to lose her guide. Cormie stopped to rest and shared some of his water with Anya.
Drink as much as you need. I'm used to not having a lot.
But you need some.
I've been drinking water all afternoon in preparation. It is a wonder that I have not floated away.
How did you get wrapped up in all this, Cormie?
My circumstances in life dictated it. I am descended from a long line of Thuggee. My job paid little money, and to care for my family, I had to make a change.
You have a family?
I did. Once.
What happened?
Fire. It engulfed our small home and took the lives of my wife and my two sons while I was at work. I left with their smiles and love and came home to their corpses. It made me a very angry, very bitter man. And I was impressionable.
Dunraj got a hold of you?
He did. He is also descended from the Thuggee and used that as a means of bringing us together. There are not that many, but there are enough.
I'm sorry for your loss.
It is time we were going again. The longer we rest, the more chance there is that someone will discover you are no longer in your cell.
They rose and continued climbing.
Where will this lead us?
There is an opening farther up that then leads to a small game trail that we have sometimes used to access the mountain. If you follow it, it will bring you back down the mountain, close to where we brought you in from the development.
But won't Dunraj and his men be looking for me?
That is why you will have to run. Fast!
Wonderful.
They came abreast of another intersection, with one path leading down and the other up. Cormie pointed.
If Dunraj finds you gone, he will most likely come from that path. Remember that.
I will.
Cormie pointed ahead.
That is where we need to go. Travel quickly. Something...
You guys have electricity?
Not everywhere. But Dunraj wanted us to lay lines so he could have power. We have a mile left before you reach the exit. I suggest we run.
Anya followed him at a sprint, and as they dashed up the path, she found her vision improving. Light! There was an opening somewhere up ahead, and she knew that must be the exit out into daylight. Or was it evening now? She had no idea how much time had passed since she'd been taken. Cormie ran lightly and kept his hands up in front of him. They rounded a corner. Cormie snapped the Rumal out in front of him with a whipping action that caught an oncoming assailant unawares. The man dropped. Anya ran past him, not pausing to even wonder if he was dead or not. Cormie glanced back.
He is unconscious, but will recover soon enough. We need to hasten our escape.
They ran faster.
Run faster, Anya Creed. Our path will be cut off otherwise.
And then he skidded to a sudden halt. Anya nearly bumped into him, then saw that the way ahead had several shadows in it. More men. Behind them, pursuers halted, then advanced warily. They were surrounded. Cormie swung his Rumal like a lasso as both teams of pursuers approached. Some of the men drew daggers.
Enough of this.
Its gray, gleaming light filled the tunnel, and even Cormie blinked in surprise.
Where in the world did you get that weapon?
A friend of mine loaned it to me, and it's quite an amazing blade.
Anya ducked just in time to deflect a thrown dagger with her sword. The knife disappeared into the shadows. More men approached. Anya was startled. There seemed to be a lot more of them than she remembered seeing yesterday. Or was it earlier today?
How many men are in this place?
Perhaps 100 of us. Why?
I thought there were a dozen.
Not even close. That was the circle of 12 you saw, the higher-ranked Thuggee members. But Dunraj has many foot soldiers.
And how many friends do you have among his ranks?
Not enough.
There's an understatement.
I was wondering if you would show up here.
Why wouldn't I?
Dunraj came from behind them, passing through ranks of his men that parted for him.
You don't think I would let my prized possession escape so easily, do you?
I was hoping.
Ah, hope. Such a vain enterprise. I must admit I'm surprised to find you here, Cormy. You shame your ancestors with your betrayal.
You shame Kali by committing atrocities.
You would unseat me? You would see me deposed? Then be the man you claim to be and engage me in combat. If you win, I will die happily.
You must go, Anya. Do as I said and proceed down the game trail. If you are pursued, make your stand there and then get help. It is the only way to save your friend.
What about you?
I must account for my sins. But first, I will try my best to kill him. I accept your challenge.
Here and now.
When I say the word, cut down the men standing before your exit while I move to engage Dunraj.
Good luck to you, Cormy.
Luck is not a part of my destiny.
Thank you for your kindness. I wish you the very best.
I would like to call you a friend, Anya Creed.
I'd be honored.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Now!
Cormy unleashed his Rumal directly at Dunraj's head, and Anya ran toward the men standing between her and the exit. Anya cut horizontally through the first man, then cleaved upward through the shoulder of the next. She doubled back with the sword and spun, hacking through the third. Blood sprayed the interior of the tunnel, and Anya kept running. At last, she broke out of the mountain, stumbling into the evening light. She checked behind her. No one, at least not yet. Anya ran along the twisting trail, sending loose rock and dirt over the edge that loomed on her right side. She was corkscrewing around the mountain on the narrow path. As she bent double to suck some wind into her lungs, something whizzed over her head, rebounding off a nearby rock. Anya brought her sword up in the next instant, deflecting another projectile that had been aimed right at her. Several of Dunraj's men stalked her from farther up the mountain. Each of them swirled their rumals like slingshots, unleashing a volley of lead shot. There was no place to run. The next dip in the trail would give her pursuers the tactical advantage of higher ground. Time to make a stand. Anya spun and deflected two more volleys of the shot, each one bouncing off her blade and skittering harmlessly away. One of Dunraj's men came down the game trail, already whipping his rumal at her head, the weighted end unfurling. Anya waited until it was almost unraveled. She ducked and attempted to slash through the cloth. Her sword didn't cut it. That was a first. She wondered if the material of the rumal was the same as what she'd been tied with. The weapon's heavy knot slammed into Anya's side and almost made her drop the sword. She rushed back up the slope as Dunraj's man was trying to recoil his weapon. Two others on the trail responded, sending shots at Anya. But she only ducked them as they flew over her head. Then she was face to face with another combatant. He circled Anya on the tiny game trail. Anya drove straight at his heart. He tried to avoid the thrust by backpedaling, but the game trail ended in a sheer drop. Two more of Dunraj's men were coming down the trail fast. As the first man closed the distance, he discarded his rumal and brought out a blade that must have been a foot long. He feinted with a downward slash and then stabbed straight at Anya's heart. She parried upward. He attacked again, this time opting for a quick series of slashes aimed at Anya's head. Anya brought the sword up, and the man tried to close the distance with her to render the sword's advantage of length obsolete. But Anya shoved him away. As she did, she felt the knife blade cut superficially into the back of her forearm. Anya drove the man back with a series of downward cuts that forced him to retreat to ward them off. Anya lulled him into a rhythm. She abruptly impaled him with a simple thrust to his stomach. Anya jerked the blade out and let the corpse fall to the ground. Her last opponent took a look at the dead man and frowned.
Don't do it.
He came flying over the corpse in a frenzied attack that forced Anya to back up three steps to absorb the weight of his attack. and then she dropped and cut horizontally, cutting the man nearly in two.
Phew.
Anya turned and kept moving down the game trail. The trail seemed to widen in places and then narrow again as she came around a bend, but she kept her head low on the lookout for any more of Dunraj's men. Anya took a moment to get her breath. The sword had grown heavy, and she put it back in its resting place. The trail ahead wandered between two higher elevations, making it look like a hidden valley. Anya ran toward it. Suddenly, a volley of lead shot rained down on her. Far above, she spotted more of Dunraj's men. But they were at least 200 feet above her. There was no way she could do anything except try to ward off the punishing shower of lead. Anya took off at a run. But she stumbled. Her foot seemed to have caught on something, and she'd twisted her ankle. She bit down to keep from crying out in pain, but the stumble didn't go unnoticed by Dunraj's men. The pelting stopped. Anya grabbed at her leg.
They'll take advantage of my injury to come and cut me to ribbons. And bring me back to Dunraj.
She tried putting weight on her ankle, but it wasn't going to work. Anya estimated the time it would take Dunraj's men to get to her.
Maybe a minute? Maybe longer? I can't stay here and wait for them.
Anya edged her way toward a giant boulder she saw off to one side of the valley. The going was tough, but she was thankful the valley floor was hard shale. At least she wasn't leaving signs of which way she'd gone.
If I can just get behind that giant rock, I might be in a position to fend them off or at least keep them bottled up.
Anya pulled herself behind the giant rock and drew the sword. It was darker in here, and for a moment, Anya couldn't see a thing. The sun had already dropped behind this valley. That would help. Anya clutched her knees together and waited in the recessed shadows of the boulder. She pressed herself deeper into the rock, willing the ancient stone to accept her into its folds. And then she saw the black cloth swaddled foot appear just outside the rock. These guys were so quiet, it really annoyed her. A face appeared next, trying to penetrate the thick darkness. Anya stabbed him right through his head with the sword, and he sank without a sound.
So much for me hiding and them going away.
Anya steeled herself for another attack, but after several minutes, no one else came to check on him. There was no plan to their search. They were swarming over anything they thought might be hiding Anya, and she realized that the corpse in front of her might look as if he was simply checking under the rock. She might have a few minutes, at least until they decided to move on and one of them wondered why the dead man hadn't come too. Then the corpse was jerked out suddenly, and this time Anya knew her hiding spot was compromised. But where could she go? Backing up was impossible. The boulder pressed itself into her spine and enveloped her on three sides. All she could do was keep her back to it and hope they could only attack one at a time. She saw another face. Anya stabbed at it, but missed. A wicked smile flashed in the darkness. She felt the bite of a dagger blade on her foot. Anya kicked out. She followed up with another stab. She pressed farther back into the rock.
Damned foot. If I hadn't tripped, I could take them all on, but no.
She was so frustrated, she shoved her back into the rock and was shocked when a second later... She was tumbling backward through the air into more darkness.